the Bible is the inspired word of God. It is the only book that reveals to us why we must press on. Let us study the Bible. For if we do so, we shall find rest for our souls. Good morning, everyone. And this is the last day of our fall retreat for 2007. I would like to thank all of you for staying behind. I hope you would keep praying for our friends who came all the way from Louisiana. And Wayne, I want to thank you for that beautiful song. You didn't realize it yesterday. We were talking and I asked what she does, and she sings to music. And I said, have you considered singing for us? And she was very shy, and but somehow the Lord touched her to accept my invitation to sing. And thank you so much. Those of you at Eastern Michigan, put her to work. She, you can tell she can sing. And sometimes people have to be invited to do things. You know, so don't hesitate. Everyone has a gift. But sometimes it takes a special eye to recognize it and put it to work. Thank you again for that beautiful song. My faith looks up to thee. This morning, as we conclude our retreat, I want to speak to you again on the subject, you are the answer of excellence. I put in little parentheses there, in the United States. And specifically, what it takes to change the world. As you know, excellence is our philosophy at campus. Our motto is taking higher education higher. And the second higher is not simply taking it, you know, laterally higher, but, you know, taking us to heaven. Higher education, the ultimate goal of higher education is to lead people heavenward. And our theme this entire school year is more excellence. More excellence. Yesterday, during my mission report, I challenged you to be the answer of excellence. What does it take to excel? One, like Ezra, you've got to believe God has called you. See, you cannot make a difference in the world when you don't believe you have been called. God's hands are upon each one of us. And then, knowing this, it motivates you to do three things. To excel by studying, giving the Lord your very best, like Ezra did. You know, he purposed in his heart. He determined to study. If I had time to explain it, what it meant was he made a total commitment, a total determination that consumed his whole being. Because God has called me, I am going to study very hard. Then I'm going to apply what I have studied first to myself. And only then will I go forth to proclaim it. There is a winning formula for what it takes to change the world. As Ezra did, the major revival that took place after the exile of the people of Judah, Ezra led out. And it was simply amazing. But it took a person who understood he had been called, who studied. It's not enough to say the Lord has laid a burden on my heart. Fine. But you must apply yourself. Study. Excellence is key. Academic and professional excellence. And then lifestyle excellence. Live it. Live it. And then let it out. In other words, you must know, you must be, and then you must do. This is what we talked about yesterday, and I did so on the basis of sharing with you some reports from my recent mission trip from Ghana. I just got back last Friday, 2 days ago. What I intend doing on this final phase of our stay here at the retreat ground is to present a message titled Press On. Press On Towards the Mark of Excellence. And specifically, I'm going to talk about the need, the importance of unflagging determination. What I'll do is, this will be a follow-up to my presentation at Campus Leeds earlier in the year, and then a reflection on my recent trip to South Africa. Each time I go to any country, somehow on my way back and while there, I start reflecting on my life anew. And recently, this past August, about 2 months or so ago, I mean October, about a month, 2 months ago, almost 2 months ago, I was in South Africa, and the event there impacted my life, and I renewed my commitment to be determined in the pursuit of that which the Lord has called me. And this is what I intend sharing with you. Let me begin with the trip to Southern Africa. Yesterday I took you to West Africa. Today I take you to South Africa. And there I'm coming to share with you the transforming power of courage and determination. Many of us are not able to make a difference in the world because we lack courage and we lack determination. And so I would use as my springboard my trip to South Africa. For some of you, when I ask you what you know about Southern Africa, the only thing you tell me is it is in the south of Africa. At the very best, you tell me it has gold. And if you know a little bit history, you would add apartheid. That's about it. I'll share with you some information. This past August, I went to Swane University in Pretoria. It is the largest residential university in Southern Africa with a population of about 60,000 students. I was there at the invitation of the students on that campus to present a Bible lecture series, and these are the leaders of that student movement. In the middle, at the front, is Dr. Tihaya, who is the executive dean of the School of Arts and Sciences. He is also like the sponsor of the student group. Within this group are some of the finest, most dedicated young people you would ever find around the world. And this is the challenge I would like to leave with you. There is a generation of young people emerging almost everywhere. Spontaneously, you cannot seem to explain what is happening, but all over the world, they are popping up. Randy Skid should have been here. He is right now in Germany. Another generation of young people has emerged, even in the heart of Europe, where they said Christianity is dead, post-Christian, about less than 3% go to church. And yet, strangely, a generation of young people has emerged. That is quite frankly unbelievable, but the Lord is leading out. I was there at this Swanee University. This is the hall where I did do the Bible lecture series. South Africa has some of the most beautiful campuses, very picturesque, you know, and we do have others scattered on these secular campuses. After the presentation at Pretoria, which is the capital, I concluded with a Sabbath convocation of all the Adventist students in one of the universities. It was a large audience. And then we also specially dedicated those who were baptized from the one-week lecture series. I've always been interested in South Africa for several reasons. And some of you may know a little bit about South Africa. If you are a football fan, you know that in 2010, that is where the World FIFA would, you know, World Cup would take place. The World Cup will take place. Ghana is a football country, and so between Ghana and South Africa, we are rivals. The last time we played, we beat them 2-1, and so. So, and they are determined to beat us, you know, interested in this. I was interested, or I'm interested in South Africa, because while I was a student in Ghana, events in South Africa changed my life. South Africa has remarkable similarity with Ghana in its struggle for freedom. Ghana was the first African country to be independent, and South Africa is perhaps the youngest to be free from colonial domination called apartheid. Our first leader in Ghana became president from jail. Basically, he had been thrown in jail by the British government and together with many others. But the people struggled, and then immediately from jail, he became prime minister. And Dr. Cromer, on our Independence Day, wore the prison cap, you know, that he and his colleagues wore while they were in prison, to make a statement that regardless of what you may go through, you can wear it in your prison cap with a mark of pride and determination. South Africa experienced the same. Nelson Mandela was also in jail, and he walked out of jail to be the president. Our first president insisted that he would prefer self-government with danger than tranquility as a slave. Nelson Mandela had the same determination. I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an ideal which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die. Here was a man who had a certain set of ideals. He was willing to live for them and, if need be, die for them. Do you have any passion, something you are willing to live for and die for? I'm projecting Nelson Mandela not so much as a role model, as an impeccable role model. We know politicians have their failures. But I'm only citing him and others simply because they were people who understood that they have been called into the world for a mission, and they will rather die than fail to fulfill that mission. Do you know your mission? Do you recognize God has called you? South Africa has also produced other great leaders, Desmond Tutu, a religious leader, who has thrown to the forefront the biblical concept of forgiveness as the only way out. South Africa has also produced student leaders. You may know this person by the name Steve Biko. In the heat of apartheid, he was a medical student. He literally suspended his medical practice or his medical studies and mobilized young people to rise up against an oppressive regime. He told them the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. In other words, it is our mind. Every change begins with the mind. And each one of us should start developing a certain mindset that will refuse to settle for mediocrity or anything else other than that which the Lord wants us to do in life. South Africa also produced a generation of students during the uprising in the 70s. These young kids, from 9 years old, they were willing to stand up, even die, for the sake of freedom. When I was a student in Ghana, I was at the University of Science and Technology. This is my campus. The events in South Africa impacted my life. Recently, I went back to that university. And I went to the room where I lived. This is the room in the bottom screen. I put my room number, Republic Hall, room 166. A person's life is impacted or shaped by events that have taken place. We are all the product of our life experiences. And in my case, the events in this particular university, which has a linkage with South Africa, impacted my life. My roommate at that university was from South Africa, actually Southwestern Africa, that time is Namibia. He was the Secretary General for the student organization. Remember, Namibia, South Africa, and all these countries were under apartheid regime. And during that time, several students fled the country. They were agitating for liberation. And one of them, Stephen, was his name, Stephen Amoama, was my roommate from Namibia. It was he who informed me about the situation in South Africa. He introduced me to different news networks, how they obtain news, even in exile, coded messages. You know, he shared this all with me. Unbeknownst to him, the South African agents were looking for him. And they actually came to Ghana. And one afternoon when I left the room, he was murdered in my room. It had a tremendous impact on me. Here is a fellow student. He was also studying engineering. Very bright student. But because he stood for something, he died for it. And at that moment, I started asking myself, what am I willing to die for? Do I have a cause to live for, and if needs be, die for? And so during my last trip to South Africa about 2 months ago, I determined to trace the footsteps of some of the individuals who impacted my life from South Africa. It was a dream come true. Nelson Mandela was one of them. And so I went to Johannesburg, where he has his official residence, stood in front of that house and took a picture just to make the statement, I have been to that place where one individual was willing to risk and waste his life, if needs be, die for the cause he believed in. Then I visited Soweto. Soweto was a ghetto city. It was a township. You know, in during apartheid regime, different groups were housed differently. Whites in one area, colored in another area, blacks in another area. And Soweto was a black township. But this city or township also impacted my life because of the events that took place. It was here that Nelson Mandela grew up. It was also the same place, or it's also the same place where Desmond Tutu grew up. And I went to visit those places to renew my commitment, and it was in this city that the student uprising took place. That changed South Africa as we know it. I call Soweto the most famous township in our time. Why is it so? This township changed a nation, and it also changed the world. And specifically because of two individuals who lived on a famous street in Soweto. The street is the Vilakazi Street. On this street, you are going to find two Nobel Peace Prize winners. There's never any other town in the world, no other street that has two Nobel Prize winners, you know, just stone throw away from one another. It is the best place and the place where Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu lived. And so I went there and stood by the street, because that street, as well as that township, fundamentally changed my thinking and my outlook in life. Two lessons I bring with me, which are setting as a prelude for my presentation, is when a people are courageous and determined, they can make a difference in the world regardless of their profession. Nelson Mandela was a lawyer by training. Desmond Tutu was a preacher. But each one of them, in their own way, stood up and made a difference. You may be a teacher in training. You may be a student. You may be whoever you are, regardless of your training. If you know what God has called you for, and you resolve to live for it and die for it, you would make a difference. And so, a common preacher, Desmond Tutu, made a difference and the world took note. And a common lawyer, Nelson Mandela, stood up and the world has taken note. He started out as a young man at a law school, started practicing. But there was something more to law school or practicing law. He got married, had children, and quite frankly, life would have been very much easy for him because he was a professional. He had everything. But he chose to live up to his calling. He determined that he will use his education and influence to bring a change in his country. And for this reason, he was thrown into jail. About 27 years of his life, it was literally wasted. But it wasn't wasted, because even as a prisoner, you can still wield tremendous influence. He walked out of jail unbroken, and his courage prevailed. These two individuals, Mandela and Desmond Tutu, show us the sheer power of courage and determination. But I'll tell you why I was in Soweto. I was there for another profound reason. And the reason is young people. I wanted to be at that place where young people, armed with courage and determination, change the world. And there in Soweto, there is this beautiful monument erected to memorialize the role played by students and young people in changing South Africa and the world. The event took place on June 16, 1976. It was that day that in Soweto, students stood up against the apartheid educational system, which basically made them slaves, and said, "We are not going to sit for this anymore." And armed with nothing but their fists and determination, they faced the bullets, they faced the dogs, they faced the fire hose of the apartheid regime. Thousands of them marched out. Their parents were literally begging them, "This is too risky, don't." But the children said, "No, we have to rise up." Hundreds of them were killed. One of them, Hector Peterson, or the first who was killed, just about 12 years old. And today a monument has been raised up over the museum to honor the student. I was there. Just to reflect, because I am working with students now, I remembered my own student days. And I wanted to bring something back with me to challenge you as students to dare make a difference in your generation. I'm talking about the transforming power of courage and determination. Other students stood up, they died for what they believed in. Steve Biko, he died in jail. Some of you know all of these things. From there, I went to Pretoria, the Union Building. When during apartheid time, you talk about apartheid, this is where the seat of apartheid was. It is like the White House of apartheid. I went there to discover that because students stood up, the walls of apartheid came down. Don't underestimate what students can do in our generation. This massive edifice, which was the instrument of torture and death, fell because students your age and even younger dared to stand up. In fact, the hotel where I stayed, I was told, you know, until recently, no black person had ever stayed in that area. And to be served by a white person who also happened to be a Christian. And we sat down and talked. And he shared with me from his perspective what it was like. And how today, black and white and colored can live in harmony in one nation. Simply because individuals stood up. You see, it is very easy to write history and reflect on history and talk about Martin Luther King and Abraham Lincoln and all of this. What we fail to realize is when they stood up, it wasn't popular. It wasn't convenient, but they did it anyway. And it is our responsibility at this time to understand students can make a difference, and students are already making a difference in our generation. Students like you who have attended universities here in Michigan and in this country, because they were not willing to sit still and let things go their course, they are making a difference. I have on the slide, you know, campus missionaries. I have Alive, which is a generation of Africans in this country. I have GYC. They are making a difference. Don't underestimate the power of determined students. It has been so in Bible times. Moses was a student in Egypt. He used his education to impact the world. God called him and he used it. Daniel was a student at the University of Babylon. He stood for what he believed. He refused, even cafeteria food, he refused to go by it. He studied hard and had an impact in the world as a prime minister. And I can talk about Paul. Don't underestimate what students can do. If you read Acts 19, 8 to 11, it talks about Paul. He went to Ephesus. He preached over there. But, you know, he faced opposition. The Bible tells us in Acts 17 from 8, he went out into the synagogue, spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and pursuing the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one tyrant. When Ephesus refused to embrace Paul, he changed the venue of his ministry. He decided to go to a school. Think of it as a university. University under Tyrannus, whatever you call it. And the Bible says in verse 10, in this continued by the space of 2 years, that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. When he went to a university campus, a school, within 2 years, the word got round the entire Asia. I want to believe Paul trained the students, and the students became the agents of change in the world. Don't underestimate the power of students. And history tells us the same thing. Wycliffe, John Wycliffe, the forerunner of the Reformation at Oxford University, 14th century. John Huss, who took that message, went to Czech Republic, University of Prague. It had an impact. Students from Germany came to Prague. They took the message, went back to Germany. And when God raised Martin Luther at another secular university, Wittenberg, guess what? The students who had come from Prague became the foot soldiers to make a difference in what we call the Reformation. John Calvin, University of Geneva. John Wesley, back at Oxford. The Oxford Revival Movement. Students. Even in the 19th century, in this country, Oberlin, I see some of you from Ohio, Oberlin College, students rose up. They applied their religious faith and practice to their own life, to their campuses, and that became the foundation that added impetus for the abolition of slavery and ultimately resulted in the creation of agencies such as the United Way, YWMCA, the Red Cross. Students. And so you should ask yourself, what are you prepared to do as a student? What legacy do you want to leave behind? Or are you just walking through the walls without making a difference? Others have done it, and we cannot afford to fail in this generation. But in order to make a difference, you've got to aspire for excellence. And that's why in this final message, it's going to be very brief. I'm going to challenge you to press on. When I say press on, you know, it is a Bible phrase. Press on towards the mark of excellence. Students who excel and who possess unflagging determination are those who make a difference. And so for the next 10 minutes, I would invite you to bow your heads. Ask the Lord to speak to you this hour, this last day of our retreat. Ask the Lord to lay a burden on your heart that you would live here, that in whatever corner you are going to make a difference. Let the Lord speak to you this moment. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we've seen what young people can do, students can do. Now our generation is looking forward to seeing a major revival, a major transformation, engineered and led out by students. Place a burden on our hearts this hour. May we never be the same again as we go forth to our studies and our different fields of labor. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. At our last campus lead, and by the way, we thank Justin and also Hope Media for providing each one of you with the MP3s of our lead. Lead was when we launched our theme for the year, Excellence. And every year, second week of July, we have these training programs. If you haven't picked your MP3 yet, pick them up. All the presentations, at least, on excellence are over there. At Leeds, I did present some messages on excellence, and one of the messages dealt with 10 steps to excellence, building upon what Paul has given. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take one of those 10 steps and expand upon it. But those 10 steps are found in Philippians chapter 3 from verse 12 to 21. Philippians 3 from verse 12 to 21. There, the Apostle Paul presented to us his passion, his determination to know nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, Christ is the most excellent thing anyone can pursue. The most excellent object anyone can pursue. No, the most excellent person in one's life. And then after he talked about Christ and how everything saves in comparison with him, Paul continues by saying, the fact that I've found Christ doesn't mean I have arrived. And so he laid down 10 steps regarding excellence. Specifically, it is dealing with spiritual excellence, but I drew 10 specific steps. Let me summarize them for you. From verses 12 and 13, Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. From this statement, I discovered one principle of excellence. The first step of excellence is never be satisfied with where you are or who you are. Never be satisfied. You lose your quest and passion for excellence when you are comfortable with your state. Then, at the second step of excellence, I found in verse 13b, but this one thing I do. From this statement, I get a second step of excellence. If you want to excel in any field of labor, be single-minded. Be committed to one thing and do it very well. That is a principle of excellence. The third principle of excellence I found in Paul's statement in verse 13c, which says, forgetting those things which are behind. From this statement, I get a principle of excellence being, don't look back. Don't look back on your negative experiences, and don't even look back on your positive experiences. Let the past be behind you and press on towards the future. Many of us have failed because we have gotten satisfied with our past accomplishments and also intimidated and discouraged by our past failures. But in this statement, a principle of excellence says, don't look back. That leads me to the fourth principle of excellence. You find it in verse 13d, reaching forth unto those things which are before me. From this, I get a principle, go forward. Don't look back. Go forward. Immediately start. Don't procrastinate. If you have a desire to read the Bible through this year, start right away. Intentions are not good enough. Simply go forward. And as you go forward, the waters would part. That leads me to principle number 5 of excellence. We find it in verse 14a. I press toward the mark. This is where our theme for this year, this retreat comes from. Toward the mark. I press toward the mark. From this principle, I get a principle of excellence being press on. Press on. This is what I want to talk to you about briefly. Press on. To press on means to adopt a determination, a persistence, a disciplined effort in pursuing your objective. People who can make a difference are disciplined, they are focused, they are determined that whatever object is set before them, they are going to do. And I'll come back to this shortly. And then the sixth principle for excellence, the sixth step for excellence, you find in verse 14b, you know, he said, I press forward for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. From this, I gather a principle, be motivated from above. Whatever you do, do it well. Not because you are going to get a good grade, not because you are going to get a job, not because you are going to get a promotion, but your ultimate reason is there is something higher, something more compelling. If it is just a grade, if it is just a praise, then when those things don't come, you fail. So be motivated by something from above. To do great things for God, we must be motivated by something higher. Not money, not grade, not position, not promotion, not anything, but something higher. That becomes the basis of your motivation. And then the seventh step for excellence, according to the Bible text, we find it in verses 15 and 16, where the Apostle Paul says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be minded." Notice the use of the word mind. If there is anything, ye be otherwise minded. God shall reveal it unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the things of God. Three times, mind. I get from this a principle of excellence. Adopt a mindset of a trailblazer. Adopt a mindset that you are going to set the pace in something. Whatever needs to be done, don't wait for others to do it. You must set the pace. And if you don't know how, the Bible says, God will reveal it unto you. Determined, you are going to set the pace. The fact that there has been no campus ministry on your campus doesn't mean it cannot be done. Set the pace. The fact that no one has done this before doesn't mean it cannot be done. Be a pace setter. Don't settle for the status quo. Put some quo in the status. Be an innovator. Do something no one has tried. Dare to risk. And as I mentioned to you on that occasion, excellence can be obtained if you care more than others think is wise. If you risk more than others think is safe. If you dream more than others think is practical. If you expect more than others think is possible. Dare. Have a mindset. I am going to do that thing which others think is impossible. And then that leads me to principle or step number 8 from verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk as ye have asked for an example. I get from this, the step for excellence is draw inspiration from positive role models. Hang out with people who are excelling. Don't hang out with losers. Make up your mind. If you want to be a splendid Christian, hang out with splendid Christians. Positive role models. Hanging out with positive role models also means the books you read, they are companies you keep. You don't know it. We keep company with people who have gone before us. So ask yourself, what kinds of books are you reading? Some sleazy people magazine, which is gossip about the latest Hollywood scandal. Is that it? You've got to start reading some very good biographies. This past week, Nobel Commission announced Nobel Peace Prize winners. If I were you, get hold of one of the Nobel Prize winners. Start reading their biographies. Find out what made them stand out. You'll be amazed what a difference it will make. Draw inspiration from positive role models. And step number 9. You find it in verses 18 and 19. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you even with him, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. From this, I get a principle, keep away from the wrong crowd. In addition to having positive role models, keep off wrong crowd. People who are pulling you down in a negative direction, keep off. If you are in a relationship that is drawing you downhill, break it off. If it is, whatever the wrong crowd is, cut yourself loose. You cannot excel when you are hanging out with turkeys instead of flying with eagles. It's as simple as that, you know. Not all who claim to be Christian are really Christians. Not all who profess to be Adventists are real Adventists. Don't be fooled by dross. Paul says there are some amongst us. Let me read it to you. It says, their God, you know, is their belly. Their glory is their shame. They mind earthly things. And their end is destruction. Don't hang out with such people. Keep away from them. Look for gold and hang out with them. And the last principle, you find it in verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our vile body, that it may be fashioned unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things. He is looking forward to the second coming of Christ, our coming. From this I get a principle, keep your eyes on the prize. Your ultimate prize is when the Lord Jesus Christ will come and say, well done, good and faithful servant, you made it. It is not the grade you get in school that matters. It is not the job. It is not the promotion. It is not the accolade and praise of human being, either praise or approbation or censure. No, what really matters is when the Lord himself comes and says, well done. Those were the 10 steps I gave. 10 steps, if you implement it, will radically change your life. I have them listed again. What I'm looking at in the next just couple of minutes is the fifth one. Press on. Press on. We talked about it briefly. Press on toward the mark. This is a call for unflagging determination. The word press on means adopt a determination or a persistence or disciplined effort in pursuing your objective. If you want to do medicine, you want to go to medical school, when you are studying, that is your focus. Put your whole heart into it. If you want to be a Christian, that is your goal. Put your whole heart, a determined effort, like Ezra. He set his heart. It was a total determination, a total commitment that this is one thing I want to pursue in life. The word translated, press on, is the word dioko in the Greek word, which is often translated as persecute. It basically emphasizes a zeal, a vigorous, intense pursuit. Someone has said, success is 100% inspiration, 99% perspiration. That's a determination. Thomas Edison said it. A determination that I want to accomplish it. I want to make a difference in my field in this generation and put all the energy towards it. If you are a musician, be the best musician. Press on means have a passion for something. Let it consume you. Let it drive you. And go all the way for it. Be either hot or cold. When you sleep, like right now, honestly, when I sleep, I dream of campus ministry. It is that consumes me. Have something in life that consumes you. And everything is secondary. And if need be willing to die. Press on with a passion and a zeal. And if need be willing to die for that cause that consumes you. Nothing should be allowed to stop you. This is what it takes to change the world. Many of us have some loose dreams. I want to be in med school. Is that enough? No. Dreams or plans or intentions without any determined effort is simply that, dream. And it ends up with, you know, an illusion, a mirage. Press on means once you know God is calling you to make a difference in one area, let that consume you and have that focus determined to pursue it. Pressing on. When the Apostle Paul said, I am pressing on toward the mark. Our theme here, I'm pressing on toward the mark. It meant he had a single-minded determination to be Christ-like in the context of Philippians 3. Look at the way he said it in verse 8. I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ. Everything else. No phone calls, no television, no football, no game. I mean, this one thing is number one. Look at verse 10. I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. I want to be conformed unto his death. Look at how his whole life was consumed in that passionate determination to be Christ-like. Look at verse 11. I want to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Look at verse 13. There's only one thing I do. And then verse 14. I press on. He was so consumed by it. What is it that consumes you in life? Is it a job? Is that it? Or there is something higher than that? Pressing on is a determination that allows no room for indifference, apathy, or neutrality. Many are not able to make a difference in the world because we are just lukewarm, apathetic, you know, not neutral. You can't be neutral when God has laid a burden on you and you are the answer. You cannot be. In fact, Ellen White says, those of us who are indifferent, who are neutral, I'm neither for nor against. That mindset must change.
If you are neither for nor against, what are you? Ellen White says, it is a criminal act when we choose to remain silent or indifferent. This is how she says it. Testimonies, Volume 3, page 281. If God upholds or hates one sin above another, of which his people are guilty, it is doing nothing in case of an emergency. Indifference and neutrality in a religious crisis is regarded of God as a grievous crime and equal to the very website of hostility against God. Apathy, indifference, so-called neutrality is a criminal act. When something needs to be done, let's say on your campus, we need a campus ministry, and you are just neutral, I don't care. It's considered a criminal action. In fact, in the Bible, one tribe was punished because they were neutral. Meroz. So what I'm saying is, you are here at another retreat. Should we come back and go over the same things every now and then without seeing radical changes? Such radical changes can take place when there are men and women who excel, who understand God has laid a burden on them, and they cannot rest until it is accomplished. Some music is yet to be written. Some music is yet to be sung. Some inventions are yet to be made. Some educators are yet to come up with something that will change the world. And you are the person. Why do you remain neutral and just go along and just, wake up? Pressing on means have such a passion that refuses to accept neutrality. Pressing on means that you will take an unwavering stand for a right cause. Instead of straddling on the fence, we must stand up and be counted. Look at your fellow students who in the past have made a difference. From the environment, student activism, civil rights, communism, youth, Iraq war right now. Do you know the folks who are fighting in Iraq on behalf of our nation, America? It is young people. Look at their profile, look at their images, 17, 18, 19, 20. And they are willing to die for a senseless war. And what are you willing to do? Just stay in your dorm, going through your books and then getting a D plus and an A? Is that it? Because we think life is so safe, so we are all so comfortable. We have become diplomats instead of being ambassadors. Someone says, politicians ask what is popular. Diplomats ask what is safe. But leaders, and you can say, ambassadors ask what is right. And once you know what is right, you will take a stand and pursue it to the highest level. That is what pressing on is all about. Pressing on is a determination to keep going. Even if you fail so many times, get up and keep going. Get up and keep going. Try and fail, but don't fail to try. That's what someone says. That's determination. Stumbling is not falling. That's a Portuguese proverb. Fall 7 times, but stand up 8. Pressing on means keep going. Even if you are beaten up, get up, rub up the dust and keep going. Fall 7 times, Japanese will tell you, but rise 8. Our greatest glory is not in never failing, but in rising every time we fall. Those are the people who make a difference. If you think life is such that you never make a mistake, therefore you won't try, you will never accomplish anything. Benjamin Franklin said, I didn't fail the test, I just found 100 ways to do it wrong. When you try, you are determined, yes, you may fail, but believe me, you would have learned from it. And next time you do even better. Another person says, a life spent making mistakes is not only more honorable, but more useful than a life spent in doing nothing. So my question is, what are you doing? What are you doing for the cause of God? Many of you, quite frankly, have no aim and passion or desire for anything. You just exist. It's time for cafeteria, we all zoom there. and then we eat the rice, and then we come. It's time for singing, we all sing. I mean, we have become like turkeys and chickens. There to make a difference. I just showed you, your fellow students, South Africa, they rose up, it changed a nation, it changed the world. What are you prepared to do? Press on. Have a determination for the burden God has laid on your heart. It is not enough. The Lord has shown me this. I have this passion. It is not enough. Get up and start pursuing it. Thomas Edison, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. That's what he said. Pressing on means you try, you fail, but keep on going. Never cease. There is no such thing as failure. It is just a temporary postponement of success. If you know you are going to fail, then you better fail gloriously. We need that attitude. Do it. And do it in style. At least be counted for something. I was giving this lecture not too long ago at Michigan State. You know, they had a Bible lecture series. And I was pointing to one determined individual who kept pressing on. Abraham Lincoln. So that brother was a failure. Born February 12th. In a log cabin in the backwoods of Hardin County, now in Kentucky. I mean, you, some of us give the excuses that I'm from a poor home, I'm from a village. And so what Abraham's thinking was born in a backyard. Log cabin. He went to support his family after they were forced out of their home. Homeless family. His mother died at the age of 9. That was no excuse. His business failed. He was defeated. You know, in his before House of Representatives. He lost his job, 1832. He couldn't get into law school and went odd jobs. Chosen captain of company of volunteers, that didn't see a battle. Can you imagine you volunteer to serve in the army and then you don't see any battle? Loser. His grocery business failed. He was declared bankrupt. Yet he borrowed money and then later on started again. He would not give up. Elected to Illinois State Legislature, set four successive terms, obtained license finally as an attorney, became law partner in Springfield, defeated 1838, Speaker of Illinois House of Representatives. He was defeated again in becoming elector. Married a lady, they had four children, defeated for the house. I mean, can you imagine your life history? Defeat, defeat, defeat. But this brother would not quit. He served one term in the U.S. House of Representatives. Then 1849, defeated for U.S. House of Representatives. 1849, rejected for the Supreme Court. Then finally, in 1849, he retired from politics. But there was something in him that said, no, I cannot retire. I'll come back. And so he comes back, 1865, and then defeated again. Then he became a reverend, considered for vice president, and he got only 100 votes at the convention. Only 100. A loser. Nominated candidate for senator, 1858, defeated for U.S. Senate. Selected as Republican for president, he was elected president with only a minority of popular vote. Inaugurated as president in 1861, 1864, that same year, 7 states seceded from the government, the country. Can you imagine you just took office, I want to be president of United States of America, and that the United fell apart. April 12, 1863, issued Emancipation Proclamation, January 1, elected second term as president by a great majority. 1865, he signed, you know, the terms of the Confederate surrender. And then 1865, he was shot. Was he a failure? No. Here is one determined individual who made a difference. And so I conclude. Next time you feel like a failure and failure, God can't use you. Remember, someone said Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly.
Joseph was an abused child. Moses had a sharp stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair, was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair, was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job was bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. And Lazarus was there. God can use us. He can. There should be no excuses whatsoever. God can use you to fulfill your full potential. And besides, you are not the message, but the messenger. And in the circle of God's love, God is waiting to use you to your full potential. You are the answer, and we cannot afford to fail in this generation. Now, sometimes I come to these campus ministry events and I wonder, is anything happening? Or we are just going through the motions? I really want to believe something is happening. Because a generation of students your age are taking the challenge and running with it, impacting the world. And you can do it. We need a new generation of young people who will dare go all the way. The Lord needs students who will press on toward the mark of excellence. Students who excel, students who possess unflagging determination are the people who make a difference. And you are the people the world is waiting for. You are the answer of excellence in this country and in this generation. Challenge you. Press on with determination. Is God laying a burden on your heart? Press on. You can do it. But it starts with a recognition God has called you. The hands of the Lord are upon you. Then set yourself towards preparation. Have a determinable, study whatever you are doing. Do it to the best of your ability like Ezra. Then put it in practice in your life. And then proclaim it. And as you do so, as you do that which the Lord calls upon you to do, keep going on. Determination. Whether you fail or not, you keep going. Whether you are beaten up or not, keep going. Ladies and gentlemen, the world is waiting for our generation. Go and make a difference. A difference on your campus. A difference in your church. And a difference in the world. It can happen. It is happening. And you should join that generation of young people all over the world. My message to you, press on toward the mark of excellence. Is that something you want to consider? Do you really believe you are being called to something bigger than yourself? And that you are not going to just hang out and do nothing? We are going to pray. If you really believe the Lord is laying a burden on your heart, and that by the grace of God, you want to rise and go all the way. Go all the way. The world has no respect for people who go halfway. Watch your fellow students. If they are partying, they really go partying. If they are into animal activism, animal writing, they go all the way. If they are hippie, all the way. Why can't we be all the way Christians? We need some Adventists. Brilliant, godly, nice. I call it gutsy Adventist, and a better term is Adventist. It's a Q-U-E. There's something classy about it. And people will challenge you. That is the generation the Lord is looking for, and I'm challenging you to be such people. Is that something you want to seriously pursue? Is that something you want to consider? Do you want the Lord to put you to work as He has destined for your life? If that is your wish, I would invite you to stand because we are going to pray. And don't stand because others are standing. Quite frankly, I'm getting tired. These days when I speak to you, I feel like shouting at you. I feel like screaming because it appears we don't see our potential. We don't see it.
And yet the world is waiting. This is our moment. Don't let anything hold you back. This is our moment. Let's go out and be the best Christians in our dorm. Go all the way for the Lord. Give Him your very best. And keep going. Because the world cannot afford to lose you. When you die or something happens to you, the world should notice your loss. When you leave your university campus, the campus should notice your loss. They should know someone has been lost here. We need it. When you graduate, they should know we have lost a fellow student. And in whatever field you are working, we need a generation. A generation who will go. You are the answer. And I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will imbue you with that sense of determination and optimism and desire to do nothing but that which He has laid on your heart. It can be done. And you are the answer. By responding to this invitation, you are simply saying, Lord, help me. Because left in our own strength, we cannot. Because I'm sure Satan will be whispering you, you've responded to appeals like this, you fail, you are trying again. Don't worry. If you fail 7 times, rise again. Keep going. That's what pressing on means. I think David Ashwick mentioned it. Hey, struggling? Praise the Lord. Keep struggling. It's better than being dead. Keep going. And the Lord will change you. And because the Lord has changed you, He will change the world. May the Lord richly bless you, that we shall see the whole new movement emerging from our campuses who give the Lord their very best. Is that your wish? Is that your prayer? Shall we bow our heads for prayer? We thank the Lord for each one of you here. Because you are here, our lives are different. You've impacted us through the interactions, through your testimonies and every experience. Let us go and make a difference. Let us press on, armed with determination. The Lord will bless us. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may be motivated and inspire us to press on. Armed with courage and determination, may we go forth and make a difference in our world, in this generation. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
This meeting was produced by Hope Media Ministry. For this and other great witnessing material, please visit our website at www.hoperadio.com. Our address is Hope Media Ministry, P.O. Box 752, Ada, Michigan 49301. You can also email us at hope@hoperadio.com. Our media includes DVD, video, CD audio, and cassette. You can also listen to much of our media at our online media center for free at www.hoperadio.com. That's hoperadio.com.